Hi guys, welcome to season one of Ashley's Catastrophes. I'm calling season one my mental illness in depth because that is all it's going to be. It's going to be about my mental illnesses, what I've been diagnosed with, what I haven't been diagnosed with, that I may get diagnosed with very soon, or not exact disorders because I don't want to put labels on anything I haven't been diagnosed with, but just, you know, some parameters, I suppose. Anyway, so this is episode one. It's called My Mental Illness and How It All Began. I first want to apologize because my cat that is in the room with me sometimes meows a little bit, but I'm sure you guys won't mind that too much. She's real cute. There's a tiny itty bit of background noise that I'm getting. I don't know if you guys will pick it up, but some kids are playing outside, which they should not be playing together, but whatever. And then I do have a cat outside of my room that was hanging out with my boyfriend that now wants to get into the room because he wants to hang out with me. But I'm not gonna let him because he doesn't like my other cat, so we just try to separate them as much as possible. Anyway, back to what's important besides the cats. We're talking about this podcast. So, my mental illness and how it all began. So I'll begin before it began because that seems to make a little more sense than just starting right off where I suddenly became really freaking sad and stuff. So, yeah, I was a really happy kid. At least that's what everyone told me. You know, I was always trying to make everyone laugh. I'd crack witty jokes in restaurants that were, you know, above my age level, and the adults would laugh, and I was just a joy to visiting family, blah, 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 blah. Apparently, I was a crowd favorite at one point in my glory days. Anyway, that didn't last for very long. Well, it lasted for about half as long as I've been alive. For the first 10 years, or I should say for the first 9 years of my life, I apparently was doing pretty good. I'm saying a lot, and I'm really sorry about that. This is my first podcast. I wrote out a script, but I was like, oh, I don't want it to be scripted, so I'm not going to use that. And therefore, I'm kind of stumbling over my words a little bit, but hang with me. It's going to be worth it. I promise, because I will get better. This is my first ever podcast. Anyway, so I started processing some childhood trauma not too long ago that I'm not going to go too into depth about. Actually, I'm not going to go into depth about the childhood trauma at all right now because I just don't feel comfortable doing that. But I have come to understand through unpacking some things that I was not a happy child. I was just somehow really scarily naturally good at putting on a mask with a smile painted on. We often see children, I should say, as innocent, you know, naive, doe-eyed things. But when awful things chip away at that twinkle in their eyes, somehow they find a way to make it all seem okay. I mean, no one wants to see their mother cry, no matter how young or old you are. And when you're 5, you really don't want to see it. But we'll unpack that childhood trauma another time, maybe, you know, once I've talked about it more with a professional, once I've learned how to cope with it, all that good stuff. Anyway, that fake smile thing that kids can be really good at, apparently it had a 10-year expiration date in my case. After that, it went bad, and the smile started to twist, and pretty soon I found that my whole body was twisted up with it in the corner of wherever I happened to be at any given time. Every room had a corner. As far as I was concerned, it was my corner. Walls were suddenly the most interesting thing that I had ever seen, and much more interesting than any conversation that I would ever have. And therefore, I didn't want to have a conversation ever again at that point. I would have rather stared at walls for hours. And oh, I did, trust me. Sometimes all night. For some reason, something swallowed me whole when I started the 5th grade. When I was a kid before 5th grade, I loved school. I would wake up at exactly 6 a.m. with a smile on my face, spring out of bed, get dressed, eat breakfast, time to go to school. I was so excited. And I just loved school. I loved learning. I loved going and seeing people. I loved, you know, I just loved being outside of the house, playing in the yard, whatever. I loved school. I don't know why I loved it so much, but I did. A lot of kids do. You know. you know how it goes. We all liked school at one point, but I loved it. It was my thing. I excelled in every area. You know, I was in special, gifted and talented education programs, all that stuff. And then, everything just in fifth grade, it started seeming kind of pointless, meaningless. And it just felt really hard all of a sudden. The assignments didn't get any, I mean, they got a little harder. I'm a little older, but I mean, it really wasn't that big of a deal. Like I, you know, to the outside eye, I was just too lazy to do my homework, or I just didn't care about school anymore. But it wasn't that I didn't care about school. It was that I didn't really care too much about living. I didn't have the motivation to do my schoolwork. It was like I wanted to do it, but I couldn't actually make myself do the thing. If you have any history with depression or executive dysfunction or anything like that, I'm sure you completely understand what I'm talking about. It's a very common thing to have with those disorders. but whatever this was, you know, at the time I had no idea. I didn't know anything about depression or mental illnesses or anything like that. I had no background knowledge whatsoever on any of that. I knew my mom told me Britney Spears was crazy because she shaved her head. That's about it. And now I know that not to be true. So that's just, you know, apparently I was starting from scratch, right? Well, it wasn't just at school. At home, I shut down too. And I just, my mom would ask me, what's wrong? You know, why are you looking out the window like a sad puppy dog waiting for me to get home from work? And I never really knew the answer. I just welled up in tears a little bit and swallowed it. But eventually it got to be too much. I couldn't just suffer in my emptiness by myself, because I knew, even though I was young and I wasn't too smart, you know, in comparison to where I am now, I knew one thing for sure, and it was that I needed professional help. I don't know how I knew that. I don't know how I even knew the term, but I just know that I knew that I needed someone who knew exactly what they were talking about and could analyze me. I had a lot of anxiety over little things when I was a kid, and I'm sure it was just chalked up to kids being dramatic and sensitive, which would be probably accurate in a lot of cases, but it just wasn't the case in mine. So along with the depression, I also had a lot of anxiety about the silliest of things. My parents at first, I asked my parents if they could take me to a therapist. Well, my mom, I asked her, I remember this exact conversation, I believe. I asked her if I could talk to her in a room alone. She said, sure. I went into her room and I said, Mom, I think I need to talk to a therapist. Or I said, you know, I need to talk to a therapist. Can I talk to a therapist? I think I might have even said, can we afford a therapist? a 10-year-old worried about money over her sanity, but whatever. So basically, my mom was like, what? Why do you need a therapist? I don't understand. What's going on? Like, what's the big thing? Like, you're just a kid, you're changing and growing, and these are just, like, hormones are starting to come. And I'm like, no, Mom, it's not that. It's bigger than that. I didn't even know anything about puberty or anything like that, but I just knew it deep inside that it was so much more than that. I knew that it was something that not everyone felt. Like, I knew that I was not normal. My brain was not having normal thoughts that people in my, you know, my age, like, had. It was not a thing that was happening around me. It was just inside of me. And I was alone. And even when I wasn't alone, when I had friends around and whatnot, you know, I felt so alone because I was dealing with all of this myself. And, you know, my parents, they didn't want to take me to a therapist when I first asked because they didn't really think it was that serious. Like I said, you know, my mom was like, what's the big deal? You know, hormones, all that, you know, it could just be that, whatever, I don't know. I tried telling them that it was really serious, but they just kept insisting that I tell them, you know, well, why? Where do you need to go? What are these thoughts you're having? You know, all this. But I really didn't want to tell them. because all I knew was that I just really wanted to talk to a professional. You know, I didn't want my parents to think I was crazy. And I knew that I felt like a professional wouldn't, like, think that I was crazy. I felt like they would have just the answers, you know? I knew that, like I said, I knew the thoughts and the feelings that I was having. They weren't normal. I needed help. And I kept asking. And then, you know, I took a break from asking and I just dealt with it by myself for a while. And then, one day I just lost it. I knew that I could not go on any longer. I had to go to therapy. So I talked to my mom, kinda. I remember we went to Walmart, and it was in the parking lot of Walmart after we got back in the car that I just broke down into tears. I think she might have asked me if I was okay or what was going on, because I was withdrawn, as I always am, and I just bursted into tears. And I started begging her, please take me to therapy. I need help. You know, I told her I felt worthless, hopeless, alone. This is the first time I'm ever telling her about what's going on in my head. I told her I had these bad thoughts about myself, and I had no idea why. I told her that I tried to be happy. I tried every day as hard as I could, but I just couldn't be. I told her I didn't remember what happiness even was. She couldn't fathom it. I mean, a lot of people with depression, they can't. I mean, if you can just feel happiness when things happen that should make you happy, how can you fathom no sense of joy whatsoever? But if there's one thing that she did understand, it was that I needed help. And I didn't see that click in her head until I looked at her and I said, please, there is something wrong with me and I need to find out what it is. You see, I just felt like there was a piece inside of me that was missing, because no one could tell me what fit there. It's like if someone could just tell me, then I could work on getting it back, but I had no idea what it even was that was creating that hole. So she agreed, after we got home, and she ran it by my dad, of course. So, you know, I started going to therapy, right before I turned 11. So, you know, if you were listening, that means that I waited about 9 months from the first time I asked my parents. No, I'm sorry. From the first time that I, started dealing with these emotions and when I actually got help for them. That is far too much for a 10-year-old to deal with, if you ask me. We'll go into details about my therapy session in lesson 2, by the way. My first therapy session and my therapist and all that. But we need to talk about what I just said. It was far too much for a 10-year-old to handle. One thing I've come to realize more over the last year or so is that I don't even really know exactly what kids do. And when I first realized this, I sat and I really tried to think, what do kids do for fun? And I think, you know, now I've kind of been paying attention to, like, the kids in my neighborhood and stuff, and I understand what they do for fun. And maybe I did some of those things too, but I have no memories of that stuff. I only have memories of bad stuff. And, you know, when people are like, oh, remember when you were a kid and everything was great and innocent, you never had a care in the world? No, I don't. And I hate to be depressing, but that's, you know, plenty of people don't like that about me. But, this is all, you know, it's a story, but it's me setting the tone to tell you about what I took from all this, what I took that helped me later on and will continue to help me and will help other people. When I was a kid, you know, I was consumed in this cloud of depression and anxiety with a multitude of other disorders, traumas, and just general awfulness until just last year. I made this sort of breakthrough last year, and I broke through that cloud, I guess. It always, you know, it comes back. they roll in, there's overcast, but it wasn't a 9-year storm, or it's not a 9-year storm anymore, you know, so that's progress, and I've made progress between then as well, but it still felt like one big storm, looking back, but I am still able to recognize the progresses that I made along the way. It was more like a hurricane that's now a rainstorm, you know? But anyway, I'm freshly 21, and I'm excited for and extremely suspicious of what could be next in store. That's hypervigilance for you, but, you know, that's a whole episode later, you know, go on next, it's gonna be the next season, so, like, don't even worry about that. Or the, you know, next few episodes, I'm not sure. But anyway, the majority of my life so far, it's been a freaking hurricane, tornado, whatever the heck you want to call it, of just wild and unfathomable, wow, events. My therapist thinks that I should make a TV show about my life. I settled for a podcast, but anyway, back to the topic. So I just want to put one more example of how much of a cloud I was in, so you can really get the picture of, like picture like a child, you know, I'm 14 in this next example, but, well, that is a child, but it's not as much of a child as a 9-year-old, you know. After I'm done with this one, I'm gonna give you guys some advice, all right, and then, you know, hopefully you guys take something from it besides, wow, this girl is really sad. So once when I was 14, my house got robbed. Well, it got robbed twice, and all I remember about it is the first time. I remember my mom texting me and saying, I need you to get on the first bus home as soon as you can. And my first response was, am I in trouble? And she responded with the classic mom, should you be in trouble? And I told her, because at this point I'd gotten a little better at advocating for myself through, you know, my first 4 years of therapy, or three or so years of therapy are coming to an end now, you know? So I was able to say to her, Mom, I have really bad anxiety, and it makes me really anxious when you leave these open-ended, like, we'll talk later sort of messages. Can you please just tell me what's going on, or I'm gonna have a panic attack on the ride home, and while I'm waiting for the bus, and I really don't want to go through that. So she responded with, our house was robbed. Please come home. So, you know, I text her back and I'm like, is the dog okay? I don't care about the stuff. You know, I just want to make sure that Friday is okay. And, you know, he was, and he still is doing well. But I got home and, you know, the glass back door is shattered and the TV's gone. And from what I remember, the TV's gone, the Xboxes are gone, like the 360 and the original. Which I was really mad about the original, because my freaking Magic the Gathering Battlegrounds disc was in there. But anyway, they took both the computers, or one of the computers. No, I'm so sorry. They did not take the iMacs because they had serial numbers on them. But they took my mom's laptop, though, her MacBook, and they took a few other things, and they took her jewelry. They took all her jewelry. And they totally stripped my room, which was so funny, because it's, like, obviously a kid's room. Like, what is going to be in there of value? They left a cigarette behind, which I wish my mom would have kept, because I could smoke it right now. But anyway, I digress. I was telling a friend or something about this story while my mom was in our presence a few years back, and my mom corrected me and said, honey, we got robbed twice. I was like, what? No, we only got robbed once. They took all this stuff, you know, and then I listed all the things. And she's like, no, they took everything except the jewelry and the Xboxes or something like that. It was the jewelry and something else. And then they came back the next day for the rest. I'm like, I don't remember this at all. Like, I literally have no memory of that. Like, from what I remember, they just took everything and it was devastating. And she said, it seemed like you forgot, but I didn't really mention it again because you just kind of seemed, you blocked it out, and there was no real use in telling you again because you weren't even really there. And I was like, what do you mean I wasn't there? And then, you know, my mom said to me, you weren't really there. Like, no one was. You were just this shell of Ashley. You were just so depressed that that year, I just didn't want to tell you after you'd already forgotten about the robbery. I didn't want to make you upset all over again, because it didn't really matter, because you were so checked out, because you were so buried alive by your depression, you know, kind of thing. Paraphrasing the last part, but anyway, it was just so weird hearing my point of view, or hearing my mental illness, like, from someone else's point of view. I had no idea I was coming off that way, that I was, because I was always there, you know, I was there. I just didn't want to be. So I made a lot of progress, over the next few years, and we're going to talk about the next few years, on the second podcast. But we're also going to talk about, how do I say this? We're going to talk about my first therapist, what she did for me, which were very few things, and my first diagnoses that I ever got, the beginning of that, you know. So, you know, keep an eye out for the next string of catastrophes, airings, all that good stuff, but let's talk about what you guys can learn from this. So besides, you know, wow, Ashley is really sad and we don't even know why because she won't tell us, it's okay, because I didn't know then either, and I still learn these things, right? So you guys don't have to know about my childhood trauma, and, like, you know, it's okay, because, you know, my depression and my anxiety didn't really stem from that as much. Well, my anxiety did, but my depression didn't. It's more my complex post-traumatic stress disorder that stemmed partly from that, as well as it was exacerbated in my teen and adult years, early adult years. But yeah, so it's not too relevant in this one, but it is, it's in the point of, like, it unlocked that part of me that was like, not everything is good. So here are a few things that you should take from this, or that I believe that would be beneficial for anyone to take from this. Anyone who struggles with mental illness, and also some people who don't with some of this, you know, you'll know if it relates to you, or, you know, it might relate someday, whatever. Anyway, when you need help, like, when you really need professional help, you have to tell someone. Now, if you're a minor, you know, parents, teachers, you know, just the nurse who you really like for some strange reason. Me too, guys. The health teacher, the PE teacher that's, like, kind of a hippie, and she really wants you to eat your vegetables. You know, like, just someone in your life that you trust that is an adult. It could even be a friend's older sister, or a friend's mom or dad, or, you know, you need to get it out there, and it does need to get back to your parents. Unless there's abuse involved there, then that's a whole nother story, but we're not going to talk about that. My parents were not abusive to me, so I don't really know anything about that, except that, you know, you've got to, you know, child support needs to get involved somehow, but we're just not going to talk about that, or not child support, I'm dumb. Child services and all that needs to get involved, but we're not going to talk about all that right now. We're going to talk about what to do when you need to advocate for yourself and your feelings and what you're going through and for your need for help. This goes with medication too. I didn't talk anything about medication in this episode, but it goes for medication as well, you know, and my personal advice is that I think that everyone should try behavioral therapy, psychotherapy, whatever, first. I really think that should be a first try, you know, as far as, like, let's see what if we can get to the bottom of this. But after, you know, some moderate to extensive, you know, behavioral therapy, depending, or psychotherapy, depending on, you know, where you're at, and how, you know, how serious this is, like, how, you know, how serious it is that you need this to be fixed right away. Like, if you're suicidal, you know, like, there's different things that can indicate different levels of, I'm forgetting the word, but, you know, seriousness, relevance, whatever. At first, you know, I would try the talk therapy, but if that doesn't work and you feel like you need meds, if you're a kid, it's a little harder because it's really all about what your parents feel. You can talk to your therapist about possibly trying to talk your parents into it, but that can be kind of a gray area. So, you know, you can try your best to educate your parents on it if you want to do some research yourself. But, you know, I know that a lot of parents who shut that down right away, they're not really open to the new information either, for the most part. My parents were not open to medication. I am going to go to my first psychiatrist when this quarantine thing is over, because I have not wanted to start seeing a new doctor that I don't know during a pandemic. That just, because my therapist was going to refer me to someone, she told me, like, last session, and we haven't gotten back because freaking quarantine. So, you know, I was going to see a psychiatrist, which I've been wanting to do for a really long time. I begged my mom for years to put me on antidepressants, but she would not because she didn't feel comfortable, because she was very afraid that I was going to kill myself, because I was already really suicidal. I'd had, you know, passive self-harm, a serious self-harm and whatnot, and she was just really afraid that that side effect of being suicidal was going to really get me. And, you know, I don't blame her, but I think it would have been worth a shot, because either way, I'm either dead, or I really want to die, or I get better, or I really want to die without the medication. Like, there was nothing worse to me than, like, there was nothing bad that could come out of it, because I had already experienced the worst besides, like, actually killing myself. But to me, that really wasn't bad at the time, so I was like, just try me, you know? But it's really important that even let's say you're an adult and you're going to, you know, you find a therapist that you feel is right for you. It's very important to make you need to tell this therapist, like, this therapist works for you. Like, when you're an adult, you're paying them for their time, which means they work for you. So you need to tell them, like, I need to talk about this today. Some therapists will try to steer your conversations other way. That's fine. You know, sometimes there are a lot of times when they know the direction that needs to go, but sometimes there are things that's like, dude, I only have an hour and I really need to talk about this. So we need to talk about this, you know? And it's the same with your parents. You know, it's like, look, I know, like, you think I'm just some dramatic little kid, but, like, we really need to talk about this. This is actually serious. And, you know, with most parents that think their kids are just silly, when they sit down, they're like, this is freaking serious. They pause and they look, you know, and they listen for the most part. From what I've seen, it's pretty common for that to be what happens. So I'm hoping that it has been other people's experiences. I know, of course, it's not been everyone's. There are lots of people who don't believe in therapy, who say, tough it out. In that case, you know, hang in there when you're an adult. Your childhood flies by. When you're an adult, you can do whatever you want. So you can go to therapy. It's okay. And by the way, I understand that some people can't afford therapy. I am not talking to those people as far as, like, you need to go to therapy. Like, I understand, like, I'm not trying to be classist. You know, my dad had a really good job. He has a really good job. You know, he had really good health insurance. I was lucky. I am lucky. I understand that not everyone has that help available. But, you know, this podcast is also for you guys who can't afford it, because you will learn little tips and tricks in here, I believe, that you can really take into your life and really apply them. For example, so for 9 months, you know, in my childhood, I completely, like, I didn't talk to anyone. You know, I didn't talk to a therapist, I didn't talk to any friends, I didn't talk to family. I literally dealt with it completely 100% alone. I didn't even have a journal, you know, it was just me and my sadness. That was it. Don't do that. It really hurts, and it's heavy, and it's not something that humans are meant to carry. We're meant to help share the load. You know, we're supposed to lean on each other to a certain extent at times. You know, we can't always lean on everyone. There are times when we will have to stand up by ourselves. But it's not a timeline that has to be met. You know, it ebbs and it flows. And it's okay if you need support from someone around you who's willing to give it to you. So try not, I know you, I can't just say, you know, don't be afraid. Like, you're going to be what you're going to be. But just try your best to really try to challenge yourself and put yourself out there and reach out to someone, anyone, please, for help. You know, that's my main point for this podcast, is that help is so important. When I was 10, I was having just awful thoughts about myself. You know, I wanted to kill myself. I started cutting myself the next year. And I did that for 6 years. Consistently every day. But that was, you know, there's going to be an episode in here as well. If you guys want to check it out later, you know, it's going to be called, it's episode 5 is called Lying to My Therapists. And, you know, so I haven't always been unloading everything all along the way. You know, people lie to their therapists. It's a common thing. There are some things that you're like, oh, what if they judge me? You know, all that. I'll talk about that in episode 5, you know, the fears that we have and how it's normal and whatnot. But the point is, whether it's, like I said a million times, whether it's anyone, please get help. Anyway, if someone says, like, I'm not trying to call out my parents, I love them, they did their best. They just didn't understand, you know, mental illness. It wasn't really something that was talked about a lot before our generation, honestly. Or I should say before millennials, because I'm technically Gen Z. Blech. But, so, you know, they made me feel, and they felt this way. It's not that they were, you know, trying to make me feel like this, but this is how they made me feel. They made me feel like I was being dramatic or sensitive. Or I was making a big deal out of normal feelings. And, okay, yes, there are times when parents say that, and it's true. But, you know, this wasn't the case, like I said before. And I tried to tell them multiple times, and they didn't listen. And, you know, one time they did. And you can't give up on advocating for yourself, your needs, and your feelings. You can't just bury it all inside. I mean, you can, but it's not going to get you very far without drugs or alcohol. It's very important to make yourself known. It's okay to be vulnerable. You heard me right. I know it. You might have had a hard time hearing me there. Maybe I broke up. It is okay to be vulnerable. It's hard. Sometimes people will call you weak. People will call you dramatic. They'll call you sensitive. What I've found is that so many more people will tell you that you're brave. They'll tell you that you're worth it. They will tell you that you have the world to offer, and you'll call them a liar. But 4 years down the road, you'll remember, you know, that person that told you you were beautiful when that was the biggest lie you could have ever heard, and you laughed in their face. But you still value those people so much over time. Like, it's incredible what kind of an impact supporting someone can have on them later in life when they're thinking about all the times they weren't supported, and then they think of you and a smile spreads across their face. Sorry. Getting a little bit emotional there. So support is so important and monumental. Everyone needs it, and everyone should give it. Now, it's to a certain degree, and this is why there's medical professionals, because there are things that, like, people did not sign up to hear. And, you know, if you're gonna tell someone, like, hey, I'm gonna tell you about all this, you need to tell them, like, hey, I'm really mentally ill, like I did, you know. Hey, these are my mental illnesses and how it all began. Like, this is the start of it. It was crazy. I already told you guys, they're catastrophic. Their tragedies, all that, we already, you know, intro, whatever. You can't just go up to someone and be like, this horrible thing happened to me. You have to be like, hey, like, is it okay could I talk to you about this thing that's been bothering me? I just really need to talk to someone about it. It's, you know, regarding this serious subject, you know, insert serious subject here. That person is allowed to say no. It doesn't happen very often, and it's mostly due to the social anxiety of this generation. Being too scared to not appease, but you know, a lot of people should say no because they really can't handle it, but they don't. But some people do say no, and those people who say no respect that and move on to someone else, or you know, revisit, you know, other possibilities of like where to get support, you know what I mean. Don't bug that person because you're gonna burn them out. If there's one thing that I really regret from my school career, it's gonna make them sound shitty, but honestly I don't blame them. I lost a lot of friends because I was too from what they said I was too depressed for them to deal with. You know, they had high school on their plate and middle school. And I just brought down everything so much. The way I describe it to my boyfriend is, I was not Ashley. I was not a person. Like, I did not have a personality at one point. Like, my freshman year was so awful. I literally, like, the only way I can describe it is I was depression. My middle name was anxiety, but, like, I was depression, like, through and through. You know, I was just so depressed all the time. And have you ever been around someone who's just sad all the time? You know, it kind of, you want to help them. And when you can't, it hurts you. It makes you feel like you can't help. And no one wants that, right? Well, over time, they're kids and they couldn't handle a lot. And I'm not saying that only kids can't handle this, but I'm just saying, you know, because they were kids, that was definitely a factor. You know, these are 13, 14, 15, 16 year olds we're talking about. Everyone knows that age group has a lot of things on their plate. So many changes, just so much happening. So I don't blame them at all, but it's just, I was literally so sad and I was letting that affect everyone around me. Not that I could really help it, but it's just, I was letting that affect so many people that, like, I lost everyone. And the thing is, like, that was when, so my freshman year when that was happening, so I lied to my therapist from the time I was 10, well, from the time I was 10 to when I was 13 and, like, a half. I was pretty much telling the truth to my therapist, leaving out a few things here and there. The last six months, I was lying to her constantly because I didn't like her, and I really wanted to stop seeing her. You know, this particular therapist, I just really wanted to stop seeing her. And so I lied my way out of therapy. You know, you lie and you say that you're fine and that, you know, I don't have anything to talk about, and then you stop going to therapy. And then the dark year hit. And everything was awful for a little while. And then I got sexually assaulted that year by my first boyfriend, and that really sucked. You know, just a multitude of other things. You know, I came out to my friends, not my family, but I came out as bisexual that year. And, you know, that was a lot to deal with as well. You know, I dated two girls that year, and my parents, I thought at the time that they were homophobic because I was raised Christian, and I just assumed because my parents were strict, and I don't know, I just, for some reason, I thought up that they were homophobic. Turns out they're not. Years later, I find out, but at the time, it was really stressful. I had to, like, hide a girlfriend from my parents. Just all different kinds of kid stuff, like, you know, normal stuff you'd deal with, semi-normal stuff, and also just really bad stuff. Regardless, you gotta bounce back. You gotta find something, you know, something that keeps you there. For me, you know, I ended up going back into therapy at the very end of my 14th year. And I saw him for 3.5 more years.
It's just, you can't let it consume you. And if it does, just, it's always good to talk to yourself about things, like, tell yourself things, even if you don't believe them, like, things will be okay, I won't be here forever. There's no way you believe that when you're there, right? But somehow it kind of helps, and maybe it's just because it's passing time that you're not, like, killing yourself, but it helps. And I think just, I don't really know how to wrap up the podcast, but I guess I just want to say that, you know, through my experiences, I've learned that it's really important to get help in whatever way you can, talk about what's bothering you, and just do your best to help those around you, but to the best of your ability at the moment. You know, don't expend too much energy. It's not your responsibility to take care of other people, but it's good to do when you can. Okay, cool. So keep an eye out for my next string of catastrophic errors. I am going to post another episode on Monday.
5 o'clock-ish, same time, you know, ish. Yeah, I hope that you guys had a good time listening. I know it was a lot in that first episode, really packed some stuff in there. I'm sorry if it got a little sad. I know it was pretty sad, but it is going to get sad in this podcast. You know, it is going to be like that. But it's also going to not be like that at times, and there will be heartfelt moments and whatnot. And I think maybe I'll even have revelations about my own mentalities and things while I'm talking and rambling and whatnot, with a loose script in front of me that had half the things I wanted to say. But, you know, keep an eye out. Can't wait to see you guys next time. I hope everyone has a really great day, and, you know, reach out to someone and ask the people that you love if they're doing okay, because it's a stressful time for everyone, and we just all need to be there for each other in any ways that we can. So, peace out. Join me next time.